You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You should want to have an accurate election, and you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen.
This is January the 4th, 2021. President Trump, and a phone call that got recorded as he made with the Georgia Secretary of State and the Georgia Secretary of State legal counsel. Trump saying, you did not have a fair election, and you know it, and you're not doing anything about it, and it's criminal. Question for you immediately. Was Trump wrong to make that phone call? Should he have made the call at all? Or was it the right thing to do, but maybe the wrong tone? Or was it the right thing to do and just off message? Or was it the wrong thing totally? We do know one thing for sure. It's being weaponized. It's being weaponized is not just wrong, but criminal. And you've even got folks like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, says, here we go. Here's another reason to impeach this guy. Well, of course, if the numbers hold, he's going to be out of office anyway. But, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez accusing Trump of committing an impeachable offense. She says, I think absolutely it's an impeachable offense. And if it's up to me, there'd be articles on the floor quite quickly. He's attacking our very election. Well, how did that phone call get out? The Washington Post got a copy of those recorded comments as he was discussing Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's top election official, just yesterday. Trump insisting that I won your state, and basically he did at one point in it, urge Raffensperger find 11,780 votes that it proved that I won, overturn what Joe Biden had. There are still many questions about Georgia and other states. You cannot deny that. Well, you can if you just want to put your head in the sand. But see, I'm willing to tell you, Trump shouldn't have made the call. He shouldn't have made the call. And if he did, he shouldn't have taken the approach he did. But I don't see criminal. I don't see impeachable. And yes, he's angry. He's angry. He says Americans are angry. Georgians are angry. And he's trying to stand up for them. And when I hear the left complain, this is a treasonous activity, I say stealing a U.S. election, a presidential election, is also treasonous. I also say attacking a president duly elected for 4 years on false allegations is treasonous. We're going to get into this in great deal of detail. We have some very big dates coming up this week, tomorrow, January 5. That's that Georgia Senate election. They're already have had 3 million votes cast in Georgia, either by absentee ballots or cast in person in advance of the actual election date tomorrow. 3 million. They only had 4.9 million in the entire general election across Georgia. So who's pushing the votes in? We know the money's being pushed in by the left. Are they doing the same thing with the votes? And then January 6th, Congress is to certify the presidential election as determined by the Electoral College. But Senator Ted Cruz is now leading in the Senate and with colleagues in the House a challenge. Are those numbers accurate? We need a time to really examine them. I know there will be those who say, look, they've been to the court numerous times. They've all been thrown out. But they have not heard the evidence. Not one of them has heard the evidence. They heard opening arguments. If they were hearing evidence, they'd still be going through the numbers and looking at them. And the new forensics teams insist there's clear evidence of vote being switched. And then we have another big date coming up, January 20, Inauguration Day. And, of course, we still had to battle COVID. And in the midst of COVID, we now have a report, a New York Democrat bill that would allow the governor or his surrogates to detain any individuals posing a threat to public health by a single order. Lock you up in your home, your hospital, whatever, and it's going to escalate. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting, ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Percent of Americans think, quote, the election was rigged. And that includes 17% of Democrats, 31% of independents. That's bad for our democracy. That's bad for the legitimacy of any subsequent presidential elections. And so dismissing these claims, I think, does real violence to our democratic system. We ought to have a serious, fair process and tribunal to consider these claims, consider them quickly, consider them expeditiously. We can do it in 10 days before the inauguration. I think that would take major steps towards reestablishing trust in our democratic process. And I believe that should be a bipartisan objective. We may be too divided today for that to happen, but Democrats should be interested in Americans having confidence in our electoral system just as much as Republicans should be.
Do you agree with that? I do. I believe every American should be concerned about having confidence in our elections. How could you deny that? How could you say, well, I don't really care if there's confidence and if it's rigged or not. I don't really care. You really want to go down that road? But those, of course, the words of Senator Ted Cruz. Now, he and a group of other Republicans, Senators Blackburn of Tennessee, Braun of Indiana, Daines of Montana, Hagerty of Tennessee, Johnson, Wisconsin, Kennedy, Louisiana, Lankford, Oklahoma, Loomis of Wyoming, Marshall of Kansas, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, have all said over the weekend, they're all Republican senators, have said they will object to the certification on January 6th unless there's an emergency 10-day audit of the results by an electoral commission. The inauguration date is January 20. We have plenty of time to have a full investigation, attend the audit. But there are the Republicans in the Senate as well that are not in favor of it. So don't think everybody's on board. And one of them who's not on board is, I have to admit, when I first heard it, I thought, how could he make that decision? I can understand his reasoning, and yet I think he's looking at a much smaller picture. He thinks he's looking at a bigger picture. And I've always praised him. You've heard him a lot on this program. I think he carries a lot of weight. He is valid in many ways. He does fight for American values. But in this case, I don't see him doing so. I am talking specifically about Senator Tom Cotton, Arkansas Senator. Cotton decided, I'm not going to join that group of Senate Republicans I just listed for you who would oppose the certified electoral results in several states. Cotton is arguing that opposing the results of the 2020 Electoral College would, quote, establish unwise precedents in future elections. Specifically, he wrote in a statement, objecting to certified electoral votes won't give him, Trump, a second term. It will only embolden those Democrats who want to erode further our system of constitutional government. I understand his point. I understand what he's trying to say. But there is precedent already. We're going to get into that in a moment. Things like this have happened in the past, and it was done by Democrats. But now that's being done by Republicans, and not really Republicans in their view, it's Trump, hate Trump. It has to be treasonous, illegal, unconstitutional. You never heard that from the Democrats in the prior times where they were doing it. President Trump is also upset with Senator Cotton's choice because he said, according to the president, how can you certify an election when the numbers being certified are verifiably wrong? You will see the real numbers during my speech, but especially on January 6th. He's talking about a speech that apparently he's planning on giving later today. So he's upset with him. And by that speech, he's probably also talking about being in Georgia. The president is making another trip to Georgia, again trying to get the two Republicans running in Georgia for Senate across the line. The last report, very, very close. How close? Well, it depends. Apparently too close to call. But as I said a moment ago, we're looking at already 3 million votes cast. With the entire general election, had only 4.9 million votes in Georgia. And, of course, we have Democrats obviously opposed to any of this. And there are two House Republicans who said that more than 100 GOP House members will object to election results in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, Wisconsin. Republicans in the House were putting pressure on Republicans in the upper chamber to start stepping forward and at least challenge 3 states. Those states called in November in favor of President-elect Joe Biden, if you want to get in the term President-elect. So Senator Cruz said, we're going to step into it. And that was clear by the House GOP members that you can't go just after one state. In fact, they said if Republican senators only challenge one state, Joe Biden will still secure enough electoral votes to become president. Cruz had not really wanted to commit to objecting to a specific state and is now, as I said, calling for an emergency 10-day audit of the election returns in the disputed states. The disputed states, not just one, not two. Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky, might object to at least one state during the joint session unclear at this point which state, or if he's also going to go ahead and go all the way. And, of course, the leader of the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he's urging Republicans, do not do that. Do not do that. Do not challenge it. He's taking the same attitude that Cotton is, and that is, this is going to set a bad precedent. It's not going to be good for our country. It's going to be war material for the Democrats. Well, we are in war. We are in war, and this is not the time that you keep your powder dry. You need to start firing everything you've got available. There are just too many questions. I don't care if they're going to turn out to be, well, I do care, but the bottom line is I want to know the facts. I want to know the truth. There's still another independent group that has done a forensic exam of the Georgia Dominion voting operation. And according to them, and they say we did this, we're nonpartisan, we're simply looking at it, and we found a case where something like 17,000 votes were showing for Biden at one point, and I want to say off the top of my head, 50,000, let's say, for Trump at that time, and they pulled them out to look at them. When they went back in, 50,000 went to Biden and the 17,000 went to Trump, a total reversal. Now, if that's true, if that's clear forensic evidence, my God, how can you possibly accept this? So Senator Cruz says we need to have an investigation.
We have an independent obligation to the Constitution. We have an independent obligation to the rule of law. And the question, look, we've got a vote on January 6th on certification. And every member of Congress faces a dilemma. Frankly, two pretty lousy choices. One, we can vote to certify, not consider any objections. If we do that, that will be heard by a lot of Americans as saying we don't think voter fraud is a real concern. We don't think these claims should be investigated thoroughly. I know that's not what most of us believe. But secondly, and I think all of us rightly don't want to be in a position where we're suggesting setting aside the results of an election just because the candidate that we supported didn't happen to prevail. That's not a principled constitutional position. That's why in assembling this group of 11 senators, I was looking for a third option, an option that was really moored in the law.
Going for the law, and it's all part of the law. I don't care what you hear from the Democrats. There is legal precedent and balance for this. This is not just something pulled out of thin air. Now, before I get to the explanation of that from Senator Cruz, who, of course, has argued before the Supreme Court, it was a factor when it came to the Gore-Bush cases before the Supreme Court, and was asked by Trump, would you please join and argue the case if we can get it before the Supreme Court? And Cruz said, yeah, I would. I said, I'm more than willing to do so. And he's regretting that the Supreme Court did not deal with it. He said, I would have preferred the Supreme Court deal with it, as they did with Bush-Gore, but they wouldn't do it. And he said, but we still have so many questions going on here. How are we going to get a response? How are we going to know what's been done? House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican, said he's also going to support all the efforts to challenge the certification by Congress of the Electoral College votes on January 6th. He said, yeah, I'm going to stand up with them. I'm going to support them. I think it's right that we have the debate. So we have about at least 140 House Republicans expected to object to an immediate certification of a Joe Biden victory. Now, they're going to go through their hearings. They'll adjourn. They'll go through all this. It's still going to come back out of the House, controlled by the Democrats. They're going to accept them. Now, whether or not the Senate ends up accepting or there's enough evidence presented as they go through a hearing, we'll see, but again, we're talking about the integrity of the election. And Senator Cruz pointed out in an interview over the weekend, yesterday actually, on Sunday Fox Business News with Maria Bartiromo, talking about, as you heard him say a moment ago, I was actually looking, before putting these senators together, I was looking for a third option, one moored in the law. Now, here's his basis for that point.
I went back and looked at the historical precedents. I think the strongest precedent is the presidential election of 1876, Hayes versus Tilden. In that election, there were serious allegations of fraud in three different states, in Florida, in Louisiana, and in South Carolina. And what did Congress do in 1876? Now, they didn't throw up their hands and say, well, gosh, we've got allegations of fraud, but we can't do anything about it. We've just got to certify. No, they didn't do that.
Yeah.
What they did instead is they appointed a commission. It was called an electoral commission, consisted of five House members, five senators, five Supreme Court justices. They considered evidence, they examined the ballots, and they made a determination based upon what the disputed ballots and what the outcome should be. What I'm arguing for is Congress ought to do the same thing. We ought to have a fair inquiry, a fair audit into these results, and we ought to resolve these claims, not just dismiss them out of hand.
Does that not make sense? There's nothing unconstitutional about it. It's not even saying it's going to come out the way Trump wants it, or many who voted for him, if not everyone, want it. And again, I remind you, when you start looking at the numbers of where we stand by a recent Reuters poll, the numbers, 39% of Americans surveyed, of the survey group, don't think the election was fair, 39%. 67% of them Republicans. Well, it's understandable. 31% of independents. That's a very high number for independents. Say, I don't think it's fair. And 17% of the Democrats don't think it was fair. Question for Ted Cruz when we come back. What if the inquiry proves there was fraud?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If there's evidence of fraud and it's substantial and significant enough to affect the results in a particular state, then those election results would have to be set aside. And the states would then have to determine, all right, we have a valid claim here. The evidence supports it. We need to conduct elections consistent with the law. You know, the Constitution gives the responsibility of counting the ballots to the Vice President of the United States, Vice President Mike Pence, and to both houses of Congress. And the framers of the Constitution, when they assigned a task to the Congress, they knew what they were doing. You know, there's some folks who are saying this is purely a ministerial act. They just have to, you know, count them and walk out and you have no judgment whatsoever. Well, that frankly doesn't make any sense. Why would the framers give to Congress something that could be given to a clerk? The reason they gave it to Congress is they understood there are difficult determinations about what counts as a valid vote.
Again, that is Senator Cruz. So if the inquiry, if he gets what he's wanting, a full inquiry of several states and the voting and how it went, and if there's evidence of fraud, then he said, we've got a whole new game. Because if the inquiry proves that there was fraud, then we have to question the entire election. The entire election. He said, otherwise, you could have just given it to a clerk. The clerk sees a number, signs them off, and we're done. Well, of course, we still have those that are pointing out, well, hey, your Attorney General William Barr, who sat down before Christmas, said there's been no evidence of widespread voter fraud, and has had several other members of the administration made similar remarks. That's true. That's true. But do you not want to know? Do you not want to know the details of some of the stuff that's been going on? And if it's all a lie, if it is a fabricated lie, even by Republicans, expose it. I don't care who's responsible for it. Expose it. I personally think there are a lot of serious questions here. And Senator Ted Cruz says, listen, this has obviously gotten very personal because I'm standing up. I'm not even, and he said, I'm not even standing up for Trump. I'm standing up for the Constitution, the American public, and a freedom of a fair election.
I think everyone needs to calm down. I think we need to tone down the rhetoric. This is already a volatile situation. It's like a tinderbox and throwing lit matches into it. And so I think the kind of hyperbole we're seeing, the kind of angry language, you know, yesterday when I released my statement with 10 other senators, I had multiple Democrats urging that I should be arrested and tried for the crimes of sedition and treason. Now, look, that's not helpful. At a time when this country, when we're pitted against each other, just relax and let's do our jobs. We have a responsibility to follow the law.
Follow the law. But they're already calling him a person of treason. They don't consider trying to come up with a false allegation against the incoming president of Russian collusion and false lies by whistleblowers against U.S. Supreme Court nominees. They don't consider any of that treasonous, but this is treasonous. All right, to the issue about COVID and the talk about lock them down. Lock everybody with COVID down and publicly identify them. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So we're being told that we have now reached 350,000 deaths from COVID in this nation. 350,000. Anybody who's lost a loved one because of COVID, COVID symptoms, or for whatever reason. I feel for you. I do. I mean, it's nothing to mock and point out to somebody that, well, you know, they should have taken better care if they'd stayed locked down. I mean, what's the value of that? But there is a value, obviously there's a value, of controlling the best we can. Now, we've had numerous restrictions placed all across the nation in different cities and our counties, changing rapidly. Perfect example of the dichotomy of a decision as if COVID does not know state lines is St. Louis City and St. Louis County. And then St. Charles County. St. Louis City is, of course, if you don't know, is not actually in a county. It's an entity to itself. Just St. Louis City. And St. Louis City was allowing restaurants to stay open, have business to an extent. St. Louis County was shutting everything down. St. Charles County and other counties saying, well, we're open. Go across the river to Illinois, you found, depending on where you were, things were open or not open. And also setting time limits. You can do it up to 10 o'clock, but at 10 o'clock, it's just too dangerous. It's been very confusing for America. It's been confusing for those who really want it here, pardon me, it's also been confusing and disastrous for the businesses. Just think about that for a second. The businesses that have gone under will never reopen. The folks who were looking to get something going into the holidays for big banquets, they got nothing. The companies and so forth. Now we've got landlords of various rental properties they own. They are on the verge of being evicted from their own property because tenants have not been able to pay and they've been protected from eviction. So now some major banks and corporations going after the landlord. The whole idea has been confusing from the beginning. And the idea that at a certain time or a state line, when I used to teach broadcast students coming into the business, one of the things I'd point out to them is choosing a list of stories as to which of these stories would be of value to you and your audience. And one of them involved a rabid skunk that did not live in their county that they actually served or their main county that their radio or television served, but it lived in a neighboring county or even a neighboring state adjacent to that county. And because it was not actually in their county and so forth, they said, well, that's not a big story. So the rabid skunk, I guess, would know, whoops, state line, I can't cross here. Whoops, county line, I can't go across here. I have to stay here. Well, of course not. And the lockdowns are continuing and accelerating. Prime Minister Boris Johnson now suggesting more of England could go under the top coronavirus restrictions, Tier 4, locking his entire country under a third national lockdown, a third. I should add that St. Louis County has, as of today, begun to ease up restrictions for restaurants. But, of course, now it's coming after the holidays when they were looking to make a lot of money. Places in neighboring counties or even St. Louis City collected money they didn't get to make. And then there's this to consider. A New York State Assemblyman introducing Bill A416, going to the Health Committee on Wednesday. The New York bill, according to a conservative podcast host, the New York bill allows for, quote, removal and detention of anyone who, quote, may be a danger to public health. Now, many critics tie it to austere measures taken by local and state officials. There were earlier revisions of the same bill apparently introduced as far back as 2015 and 16 before there was COVID. It was just generally health concerns, and it dealt primarily with Ebola at that point. Now, we do know that to put children into a school, you basically have to have a certain list of vaccinations they've had. Typhoid. Tuberculosis, measles, and drawing a blank right now on the other. But basically, they must have these to be admitted in most school districts. And, of course, there have been some saying, we're going to get to the point with this thing that if you're going to be employed somewhere, you have to have evidence you've been vaccinated since vaccinations are available. Well, some people don't want the vaccine. No, you're going to have it if you're going to work here. And then on top of that, making a list of those who have COVID or have been found positive with COVID and are COVID symptoms, only one test proving they're positive, maybe others proving they're negative, but know that positive test stays on the record and follows them. I mentioned to you the other day this new movie that came out, Songbird. This was a movie because filmmaking is essential business, of course, right? Certainly California. So they allowed them to make this movie. They announced it back in May 2020. They came up with the ideas already in March. They started putting it together, started filming all around L.A. in July and August. It's now streaming, I think, on Netflix. And it's basically a film based on COVID-19. But now the year is 2024. And COVID-19 is now COVID-23. The world in its fourth pandemic year, death count in U.S., just the U.S., 8 million plus. People are taken from their homes against their will, put in quarantine camps or concentration camps. Some fight back. And basically, you put them in the camps. If the infected are just left to die or get better if they can, good luck with that. Oh, that kind of sounds like what Mayor de Blasio did with the nursing homes, doesn't it? Which gets us also to how the left, the liberals, are always rewriting the rules for themselves. You have to stay home. But I can go to the French Laundry in the Napa Valley and have a fine meal. No mask, no distancing, because I'm the governor of California. Or I'm an assemblywoman of the L.A. legislature or something of that nature. Or even, yes, even over the weekend with the House Speaker getting ready for the swearing in of the new Congress today. She sent a letter to them reminding them of the rules for today and said we cannot have a large number of members gathered too close together. And yet they violated the floor procedures. They did not maintain proper social distancing. Many wore masks, many didn't. But hey, Democrats are making that decision. And in the meantime, the source of all of this for us, Wuhan, China, the China flu. Wuhan, 11 million residents in Wuhan. And they're basically, want everybody to know, the Western world should get used to it. And the official Chinese Communist Party is backing it up and saying, basically, we're going to do what we want to, and the rest of the world just has to get used to it. The story detailing parties now featuring in the town under the headline, More Gatherings, Celebrations to be Held in Wuhan. The West should just get used to it. Big gatherings like New Year's celebrations, sports events in Wuhan. They had a big rave party in New York that got raided. Police were coming in, arresting people. They did not have the big event in Times Square for New Year's Eve as usual, but Mayor Bill de Blasio shows up as they are dropping the ball, and then he's up on a stage dancing with his wife to bring in the new year. Talking about New York's a great city, the greatest in the world. He had told everybody in New York, stay home, don't go out on this evening. Which brings me to something a friend, a supporter in Scottsdale sent me. It's going around, reference Stalin. Listen to this. Stalin once ripped all the feathers off a live chicken as a lesson to followers. Then set the chicken on the floor a short distance away. The chicken bloodied, suffering immensely. Yet when Stalin began to toss bits of wheat toward the chicken, it followed him around. And Stalin told his followers, this is how easy it is to govern stupid people. They will follow you no matter how much pain you cause them, as long as you throw them a little worthless treat once in a while. Then his dad, stay inside, shut your business down, do as you're told. We'll take care of you. And by the way, here's $600. Happy? Happy? No white man hiring rules coming up.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So Kamala Harris would be vice president if things continue. Is now backing a pricely new subscription-based media company. She's backing it because a prominent Democrat's been a longtime fundraiser for her, is backing it. So I might be stretching, I'm going to tell you, I might be stretching that she's all big supporter of it. But one of her prominent Democrats, a longtime fundraiser for her, is certainly stepping forward. It's called Punch Bowl. Founded by now former political journalist and so forth. And talking about the guy who led the $1 million investment round to start Punch Bowl. Points out he's a Democrat, longtime fundraiser for Kamala Harris. They say, well, it's still going to cover Harris fairly. It will not give her any special privileges and passes. Do you believe that? If you believe that, raise both hands. No, I'm sorry. If you're driving, don't do that. If you got one of the Teslas, you can. But if you're driving, don't raise both hands. You're not going to raise your hand anyway, are you? Because you know you don't believe that. And I don't know why they think they have to. No, I mean, basically, going forward, as I've told you, this program and others like it are going to be more important in the next 4 years than the last four. Why? Why? Well, because in the previous four, we knew the mainstream media had an agenda. We knew it every day. Every day. But at least they were coming at it with their own knives as opposed to being supplied directly. Well, they were in some cases by Democrats. But now going forward, if the Democrats get into the White House, those mainstream media operations are no longer going to be just news organizations even proclaiming to be. They will be basically, in my opinion, state-run news organizations, just as you find in China, Russia, North Korea. So you do not expect any kind of acceptance of anything that would be damaging. In Chicago, there's a science professor under assault. This is a tenured faculty member. He's under attack by a mob, of course, of university students, faculty, and alumni. He posted a series of YouTube videos criticizing his department, Geophysical Sciences, on its equity, diversity, and inclusion issues. He says all these are to promote a worldwide view in which group membership is a primary aspect of the human being, and different groups are taught to view each other antagonistically. So he said, I'm hoping I can ignite a spirited intellectual discussion while depicting the dangers of vilifying groups based on race, class, or sex. In other words, he's saying, we should not be labeling things if they're white or they're black or brown or yellow or male or female. Move away from it. And he immediately faced a social media firestorm. Many of his students and colleagues say they were hurt, and they always love this. They feel unsafe due to his beliefs. So he's now deleted the videos. And he admits, I think I was a little naive. I was a little naive. He was naive because he thought folks would actually understand. He's just saying, let's put race. In fact, he's basically echoing what Martin Luther King had said. Your color does not define you. You're more than your color or even your gender. Oh, but then we go to Alec Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria Baldwin. That's not her full official name, but she has many years felt she wanted to be called Hilaria, suggesting she's Spanish heritage and often showing a Spanish accent, which fluctuates from time to time. Her real name is Hillary, which is a nice name, might bring you to mind someone else, but it's a nice name. And she's saying, I was not culturally misappropriation. I was sharing it very clear. I was born in Boston. My family now lives in Spain, although I was also raised in Spain. I moved to New York when I was 19. But again, she's insisting Spanish culture has always been part of her life. Well, that's okay. I understand that. There's no problem, except she's often tried to say, I'm Hispanic. No, I take it back. I'm Spanish. You want to know how far she's taken it? I mean, when she wants you to say, can I not claim that I have Spanish ancestry? Of course you can. But she was doing one interview, and she was talking in kind of her Spanish accent, and then the thing, you know, the thing you grow that we like to put on salad, what you call it in English, she could remember the word cucumber in English? Oh, she could remember it? She wanted you to think she was having a hard time because she's really Spanish. Give me a break. I'm going to have to give you one now. But on the other side, more on Trump's call to the Georgia Secretary of State. Was it wrong? Was it maybe criminal? Was it impeachable? We've got a lot to cover still. You do not want to go away. Stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.